But I want to share something here from the Gospel of John. And before I do, let's have another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for everyone here. We thank you that you love them with a great love and that you've got good things for them. And we pray now as we read your word, we would understand it in a greater way, in a newer way, and that we'd be able to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'd like to read here from the Gospel of John, and this is chapter 3, and this is a very familiar passage, because I'm going to read John 3:16, but also read a few verses right before it. And some of you may know the context. There was actually a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus one time at night. And Nicodemus, he was a religious teacher himself, a rabbi himself, but he recognized there was something special about Jesus, and he said, "No one can do what you're doing except God is with you." And so Jesus replied right back, and I'll actually read a few verses before here in John 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so this afternoon in our short talk, I want to just talk about being born again and what the difference that makes. Because we cannot by ourselves save ourselves. We can't. We have to have someone to help us. And that person is that Jesus Christ came into the world. And I like to tell about how, you know, a lot of people can relate to Christmas time, because Christmas time we remember that Jesus was born into the world. And then during Easter time we remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so that relates to when Jesus says here, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so then Jesus actually elaborated some more, because Nicodemus asked him, he said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And so Jesus answered that question, and he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so Jesus was not talking about being reborn physically, but he was talking about being reborn spiritually. And the fact is that when we come into this life, one way or another, all of us make bad choices, and we actually, the word for that is sin, S-I-N. And so then we need a redeemer, and Jesus made a way for us to be redeemed. And so I'm going to skip a little further here, all the way up to John chapter 3, verse 14. And it says, Jesus is saying, he gives a little example before John 3:16. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then we have the familiar John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so I want to focus in on John 3:16, but then also bring in a few stories from the Bible. And the first phrase, it says, "For God so loved the world." And you know, that's something that when we read the Bible, we see that God does love people. He loves human beings. He wants them to be up in heaven one day. But God is also a God of justice. And so if there's something that is done wrong, someone has to pay for what is done wrong. And so that is where we remember that Jesus went to the cross and he paid for our sins. And so when we look at this phrase, "For God so loved the world," you know, I think about a couple stories in the Old Testament that illustrate how much God loves people. And actually, the first one is to talk about what I just read here. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so that story is about way back when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They had come out of Egypt, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. And so they were getting fed by God. They were having manna come down from heaven. They were having water out of the rock. And God was providing for them. And so they were in a situation where they could either be thankful for what God was doing for them, or they could complain about, well, it's not like something else that we were expecting. And so, sadly, and you could read the story, I think it's in Numbers, they started to complain. And so they complained against God, and they complained against Moses. And so what happened was there were actually snakes that started to bite them, and that came there and started to bite them. But the story illustrates how much God loved the people even there, because God, in the midst of those people's trouble, in the midst of their complaining, God made a way for them to be healed. And the way for them to be healed was, he told Moses, he said, okay, make us a brass serpent and put it on a pole, and then anybody who comes out and looks at that brass serpent on the pole will be healed. And you can read the story yourself in the Bible. I'm not making this up. And actually, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the side of an ambulance where they have, you know, two snakes around the pole. That's where that came from. And actually in the military, I think it's the medical doctors, they actually have that little symbol on their collar, on their lapels, that little symbol of that pole and the two snakes around it. And so God made a way that anybody who believed, and that it's just if you would think in your imagination that somebody is in their tent and they're being bitten by a snake, and someone comes out along and says, if you will get out of your tent and go look at this brass serpent on the pole, you'll be healed. And it would be a step of faith. You either could say, well, I don't believe that, I'm just going to stay here and die. Or you could say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to look at that brass serpent. And so that's where, getting back here to John 3:14, we have this story, and it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so we know that Jesus was actually put on a cross. And it says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the thing, that one day, right now God loves us and he is making a way for us to be saved, but one day there's going to be a judgment day. One day, whether we pass through the grave or Jesus comes back, one day it's going to stop and we're all going to have to answer to God. And the wonderful thing is that if we have asked Jesus into our life, then his blood covers our sins and we are saved. We have eternal life. And so this verse, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I'll reread verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I was going to tell you another story that's from the Old Testament, and it illustrates how much God loves people. Because when we read the story about Jonah, you may know the story, a lot of people know he ended up in the belly of a fish. But to me, it's a great story of how much God loves people, because Jonah was told by God to go tell the people of Nineveh. Nineveh was a city where there were a lot of people, but they were doing wrong things. They were doing evil things. But God loved those people in Nineveh so much that he didn't just decide, oh, I'm just going to kill them or wipe them out with a flood. He didn't do that. He said to Jonah, I got a job for you. I want you to go to Nineveh and tell these people to turn from their sins. And many of you know the story about how Jonah, he didn't want to go at first. He actually wanted to go a different direction. And he ended up going, he tried to buy passage on, I don't know if it was a cruise ship at that time, but he bought passage on a ship. And he was trying to go the opposite direction. But by the time there was a storm, and Jonah, he had a connection with God. He knew God. And he said to the people on the ship, he said, toss me overboard and the storm will stop. And they didn't want it at first, but finally they did. And when he got tossed overboard, the storm stopped. And you can read this in the book of Jonah. And then he got swallowed by this fish. And that's a story in itself. But in the end, Jonah, after 3 days, he started to pray. And you can read this. He didn't get out of the fish until he prayed. But when he prayed, he got out of the fish. God spoke to the fish and he got coughed up on the ground. And Jonah went back to telling the people there in Nineveh to turn from their wicked ways. And thankfully, they did. They turned from their wicked ways, and God did not destroy that city at that time. And so God loved the people there of Nineveh. And that gets back to God loves us. There's actually a verse in the book of Romans that says, "But God commends his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then I want to just tell one other quick story. And this is about David, who was actually king over Israel. And many of you may have heard the story about when he started out, David, he was just a young man, and they had this enemy, Goliath, and he took care of Goliath, David did. And so David eventually became the king of Israel, and they had a really successful kingdom. Everybody was prospering, or I shouldn't say most everybody was prospering, doing well. But then David, he made a mistake. He actually sinned. I mean, he did something pretty serious. I mean, he actually got involved. He had a lot of wives himself back then. People were allowed to do that. But anyways, David, he actually took somebody else's wife and committed adultery. And the thing about it was, God loved David so much that he didn't let David get away with that. He actually sent a prophet, Nathan, to David and told a very unusual story, which is like a story within a story, because Nathan says to him, he says, "David, I got a story for you." He said, "If there was a really rich man who had lots and lots of sheep, and he was to have a visitor, and he had a neighbor who was a poor man, just had one sheep. And the rich man, when he had this visitor, he didn't take one of his sheep for lunch. He took the one sheep from the other guy and took it away from him. David, what do you think about that?" And David said, "Wow, that guy should be punished." And Nathan said back to him, he says, "You're the man. You're the one who did that by taking this guy's wife." But the nice story was, even though there were repercussions, David repented. And we can actually read in Psalm 51. I just bought a newer Bible here. This is I bought a Bible that's New King James, so it's supposed to be more modern English instead of gets the these and thous out. But in Psalm 51, he recognized, and it's a story about David repenting of his sin. And he says here, Psalm 51, verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge." And then he says, verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And then in verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit." And so I read that, and hopefully that's more understandable than the older King James. But the thing was, that whether a person has never turned to God in the first place, or they have turned to God and now they've made a mistake and they're not living for God, there's a song that says there's room at the cross for you. It says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And so that would be my message, to get back to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so that offer is open to us. As long as we are alive, as long as we can hear those words, and as long as we can think about it, and we can say, "Jesus, I want you to be in my life. I want to call upon you, that offer is open to you. As long as you can hear that. I remember years ago, I used to have a job where I traveled, and one time I was talking to a man. We were there actually in a restaurant talking, a group of us, we were co-workers, and he said, "I think I've made too many mistakes, too many sins." And I said to him, "The fact that I'm talking to you right now means you have another chance. You got one more chance." And that is the case even today. You know, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. You know, we don't know what tomorrow has, and may you all live many more years. But, you know, right now we have a chance to turn to God and say, "Jesus, I call upon you. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life." And so, many of you may be Christians here already, but if you are not, and if you're not right with God, I can say that being right with God is only a prayer away. It's a good thing that you can pray right now, and we're going to close in prayer, and you can call upon Jesus and say, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life." And I'm going to close with that prayer, and then we're going to sing a few more songs, and then if you would like, we would be glad to pray with you individually. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and repeat this after me if you've never prayed this before, but if you have, you can even repeat it, because it's a prayer all of us can pray. And we'll just pray and say, "Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. And we now confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. And we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And now the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm a child of God, that Jesus is my good shepherd. I thank you for this." Amen.